Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. We want to hear from you. If you have a question you'd like to pose or something you'd like to talk about, call now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Guys, if there's a passage that this world needs to hear at this time, I think it's Colossians 2, starting in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, or made complete in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Guys, there is so much empty deceit and philosophy going on out there, and people are lapping it up like a cat with milk. And boy, they're not realizing, and we see this among Christians as well, they're not realizing what they have in Christ. They're not realizing that they are complete in him. And once you have Christ, your search has come to an end.
Yeah.
And yet, why are so many Christians continuing to search? Why are they continuing to seek for what they already have in Christ Jesus? Now, Andrew, you've written a little bit about this, haven't you?
Yeah, and I would chalk it up to they don't know what they have. I mean, at least for me, that was my case. And you look at Colossians 2, Bob, and Paul is trying to inform them. He's saying, basically, do you not know what's happened to you? Hello, you were crucified with Christ. There was a spiritual circumcision, a tearing out of your old self, a giving of a new self. You've been buried with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. So why are you acting like someone who needs lifeless religion? Why are you looking to rules, principles, do not handle, do not taste? I mean, you're acting like any old person on the planet who might go and grab a behavior improvement program to feel better about themselves. And it's lunacy, because look, you're complete. You've already been raised up, seated with God. He's thrilled with you. He's pleased with who you are. He's equipped you. He indwells you. You're not of this world. So why are you acting like any old religious person from this world, when in fact you've been united with Jesus, made alive together with him? That's enough. You don't need to go shopping for more.
No, you don't. We just did a video for our YouTube channel that's going to be released tomorrow, and we're talking about finding our completeness in Christ, and the fact that we feel close to him, or we don't have to necessarily feel close, but we are close. He's alive, living in us. And he's alive living in us because he's done something to us. He's made us holy. He's made us righteous. He's made us alive. Those are all the things that God is. I mean, he's holy. He's righteous. He's the living God. So he's not going to live in us unless we're like him. And so in Jesus, he made us holy. He made us righteous. He made us alive. And then he came to live inside of us. That's what makes us complete. And we need to rest in that, rejoice in that. And when we do, from that place of rest, great things are going to happen. Absolutely great things are going to happen. So if you're out there and you're hearing messages that seem a little odd to you, seem a little strange, take these words from the Apostle Paul and use some discernment. And check those messages out with the clear teaching of the Word of God. If somebody's saying that you need more than Jesus, turn and run.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, friends, we so appreciate those of you who stand with us month by month to make Basic Gospel possible. You are making the gospel stand out in Christian media, and your gifts help assure that God's love and grace rise above the crazy messages of this world and connect people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, and so many other reasons, your partnership is very, very much needed. Please make your gift today and help us continue to proclaim the fullness of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of Richard's powerful story called What's It Worth? Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to Brad. Hi, Brad.
Well, I'm getting up off the floor, and Bob, you and Andrew and Bob Davis, I don't know if Richard's there. I hope he is.
He is. Hello.
My goodness, everything you were talking about, every single thing from the opening monologue to Andrew's comments is exactly what I called in today. Andrew helped me immensely yesterday with Matthew 16:19. So I said, well, when I get help, I'm going to go study it out, search it out, and amplify it to where I understand it, you know. So anyway, I came across the binding and loosing is what I was after, because I have a friend who I talked to on my vacation who's still in the charismatic movement, and he's still preaching all that stuff. But anyway, I saw something in Matthew 18:18. It's the same phrase about binding and loosing, but there's a very, very good word in there. It says, have been bound in heaven, have been loosed in heaven. That sounds like to me, he gave Peter the authority. That was a one and done. He gave the disciples authority. That's one. He doesn't have to keep giving it to them. And that's what that whole chapter 16 was all about. But this 18 really solidified it for me, and I'd like you all to comment. Chapter 18, verse 18, where it says, have been bound, have been loosed, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, we were talking yesterday about this with Brad, and the common theory is, of course, that it's about demons and binding demons and loosing demons. And a lot of people think that when they see this phrase binding and loosing. But we were talking about how really there's a much deeper and more important meaning than exorcisms. It really has nothing to do with that. It's more about the authority that we have in Christ. You know, when believers get together as a holy priesthood, when we get together as a nation of people who are in Christ, and we make decisions as a church, those are not earthy decisions. It's not like buying cereal in the supermarket and trying to figure out which one you want to buy. I mean, there's spiritual implications to the things that we do. When we choose to forgive another person, that's a spiritual act. It's not just a random earthy choice. And when we choose to love another person, even in Paul sending a Corinthian believer out and saying, hey, this person needs discipline and they're having inappropriate relations, they don't seem to care what anybody thinks, let's ask them to leave, and then later on that person is restored. Well, all of that, those sort of decisions, the forgiveness and the love of other people and the church discipline and everything that is done that's inspired by Jesus has heavenly consequences or heavenly implications. It's not an earthy decision. It's a spiritual one. And so this is Jesus's way of saying, hey, whatever happens on earth among you and in you and because of me, well, that's a heavenly thing. And it esteems everything that we do in dependency on Jesus. And I love it. I love to think about the fact that everything is valued like that.
Yeah, most definitely. And I've always thought about these two passages in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18 in light of Jesus' first sermon in Nazareth. So he goes into Nazareth, he picks up the scroll, he turns to Isaiah 61 and he reads it and he says, today this passage has been fulfilled in you. And here's what Isaiah 61 starts with. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me, listen to this, to bind up the brokenhearted. And then the next thing, to proclaim liberty to the captives. So the power of the gospel binds up the brokenhearted and sets the captives free. So that's how we get into this kingdom. And then those decisions that we make, like you said, that come down from heaven as we read the Word of God or move by the Spirit of God, are God just doing that work in and through us. And it's a powerful, powerful reality. So, Brad, thank you for your call. Thank you for your question. We certainly appreciate it.
We do indeed. It's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me. Thank you for joining us, and we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. And we had, let's hear from Gene in California.
Yeah, I have a question about losing your first love, as Christ told the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, verse 1. I was asked a question about a dear friend of ours that has a very, very, very bad attitude, yet he's a pastor, but he seems always angry. And my wife asked me, do you believe he's lost his first love? And I said, no, I don't, because I don't think he's found it yet. Because he's been a minister for years and years, probably 60 years, but he's under the law. And I want to know if you think that was a true statement or not. I'm Gene from Valley Springs, California. Thanks.
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it, guys?
And thanks, Gene.
You know, if you're under the law, there's a lot of people who are trying to find their righteousness through obedience to the law, through human effort. And one of the things they constantly say is, oh, I just love the Lord. Oh, I just love the Lord. And what I think they're really expressing is this desire to be right. There's something inside of me that is moving me to want to be right with God. And I'm given every effort that I can, and yet they continue to fail. And that's where the fear and anger comes from, because if they continue to fail, then they think that the only thing waiting for them is punishment. So there's no real love that they're expressing to the Lord. The only way that we can express true love to the Lord is by depending upon Him, to believe in Him. That's the way we express our love to God. And as we express our faith in God and trust Him, in every walk of life, resting in His finished work, then we're going to manifest that in love toward others. Well, you're not going to see that if you're under the law. The law judges, the law condemns, and if you're feeling judged and condemned, the best that you're going to offer somebody else is that same judgment and condemnation. If I'm being judged, I'm going to judge you, and that's just the way it works. So, I mean, we can't really comment on the pastor. We haven't talked to him or we don't know him, but we can comment on what the Word of God has to say. And if you're under the law, if you're using the law as your means to gain righteousness, then you're going to be involved in hypocrisy. You're going to be involved in backbiting. You're going to be involved in all kinds of things that don't square with the fruit of the Spirit. So you need to die to that law so that you can live in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. And that's when this love really gets released inside of us. If somebody's a Christian, the love's been poured out. You may be blinded to it because you keep looking at the law. But you need to die to the law, recognize that its purpose has already been fulfilled in you, and walk by faith in Jesus Christ. Walk in the Spirit. And the fruit of that is love. And joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, all those wonderful things. So if somebody's filled with anger, it's because they're fearful of what might come as far as punishment. And boy, that fear is taking a toll in their life. Mm-hmm. And they need to receive the love of God. And that love will cast out that fear, and they will be able to respond back to God in an attitude of faith,
yes,
and dependency.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, guys, we're now beyond the three-week mark of this month of May, meaning that we have roughly 5 weeks remaining in our fiscal year. Andrew, of course, you know, you face the same challenges in your ministry, in that we're dependent upon God working through His people to meet the expenses of daily operation. What would you say to Basic Gospel listeners to encourage them to continue supporting this message, or perhaps give for the first time?
Well, I would say straight out of Revelation 2 that we were just talking about, we get to be a lampstand. We get to be light, children of light, who are displaying the love and grace of Jesus Christ to the world around us. And how many times have you seen a broadcast opportunity mixed with a new covenant opportunity? Well, here it is. I mean, here it is in Basic Gospel. You've got an opportunity to help broadcast this new covenant message of God's love and grace so that we are reaching even more people with this incredible message that God has given us. And we all share in this. So how can you help? How can you help in a practical way? Well, by going to basicgospel.net. It takes just a couple of minutes to partner with us. And then if you're part of our support team, every single day that we're on the air, you can say, you know what? I helped make that happen. And so that's the exciting thing about Basic Gospel, guys, is that every single weekday, here we are on in hundreds of communities, literally, around the United States and beyond, around the world via the internet, proclaiming God's grace. And every single listener out there can be a part of this. Go to basicgospel.net and click on that donate tab. And if you do, it'll take a couple of minutes, but it will mean the world to us.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Well said, my friend. Thank you so much. We had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
My question is, I'm having a hard time understanding 2 Corinthians 6:12 to the end of the chapter. I have a problem with that, and I hope I'll be able to hear your answer on that. And which Bible do you follow when you give your answers? Thank you.
All right, well, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I happen to be reading from the New American Standard, guys. I don't know that we recommend one English translation as the best, but that's the one I teach out of, for example, on Sundays. There's a lot of good English versions out there, but we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Don't be bound together with unbelievers. What partnership does righteousness and lawlessness have? What fellowship do light and darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." And it goes on to quote about how we're separate. I mean, in Christ, we are different. We are separate from the world. We're in it, but not of it. And you can just imagine, guys, I mean, these Corinthians, as I like to say, this Corinthian the city was like a Vegas plus a spring break plus a little bit of Mardi Gras on steroids. I mean, it was all over the place, corrupt, and there was so much paganism and bathhouses and pagan temples and worldly religions, and here's this church smack dab in the middle of that. And Paul is basically saying, hey, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Don't choose whether it's a marriage or some sort of inappropriate relationship. Guard yourselves. I mean, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a young person, for example, right now here in the United States, thinking about getting married, I know someone I'm thinking of right now, a young person who might get married to an unbeliever knowing that they're an unbeliever. Well, hey, hang on. Rethink that. Reconsider that. Here's why. Because after you've talked about your day and said what great restaurant you went to, and after you talk about all the movies you like to watch, what else is there? Is there a deep spiritual connection with that person? No, not unless you are both in Christ Jesus. So guys, our identity in Christ helps us make sound decisions, including the marriage decision. And that is the backdrop against which Paul is talking. There's so much paganism out there. There's worldly philosophies, but we're in Jesus. We are different. So let's stick together and let's have relationships that are centered on Jesus.
Well, we hope that this particular writer is listening, and that's a help. We also had this very interesting call that came in overnight.
Hi. I heard that adultery is a sin, and if you've asked for forgiveness for that, are you forgiven? Thank you.
A very, very good question. And yes, adultery is a sin. It's all over the Word of God. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It's part of the Big Ten. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But here's the good news. Christ has already dealt with all sin once and for all. He condemned sin and sinful man by offering himself as the once for all sacrifice. So that sin has been judged. And the judgment was harsh. It was death. And Jesus stood in our place for all sin. And now, as the risen Lord, he is offering his life, and anyone who receives his life receives forgiveness for all sin, past, present, and future. So if you're in Christ, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:7, in him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You already have forgiveness of sins. So that's the starting point. So if you can rest in that, thank God for the forgiveness that you have. And it didn't come to you because you asked. It came to you because Jesus shed his blood. Yeah. It's yours because you are in Christ. So we have to realize that. It's a gift of grace that God has lavished on you in Jesus. So if you're in Christ, you are a forgiven person. And now you can deal with this issue. If you've committed adultery, somebody's committed adultery on you, you have a foundation in Christ through which and by which you can talk to the spouse and try to figure out next steps and how to leave that behind and move forward, allowing God to heal and reconcile and bring the relationship back together. But this forgiveness issue, we need to rest assured that it's already yours in Christ, if indeed you are in Christ.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Let me say something about how the enemy tends to operate here, too. I mean, anyone who's committed adultery, here's what can happen. If you're in Christ, the enemy comes to you and says, well, you know what, you're already dirty. You're already distant. I mean, you've already ruined it. You grew up a good Christian person or whatever, and here you've soiled your track record. It's what's done is done, and so you might as well just do it more. You might as well just give up. You might as well just walk away from all of that trusting Jesus part because you've ruined everything. And see, what our identity in Christ does is say, no, wait a minute. No. It's like I'm on day one here. I have a clean track record. Jesus has taken away my sins. He remembers my sins no more. I'm not dirty. I'm not distant. I'm clean and I'm close. And Bob, as we recognize the total forgiveness message, it doesn't make us want to sin more. It makes us want to sin less because we realize that we're clean and united with Jesus. He's for us, not against us. We haven't ruined anything. God is I Am. That's his name. He lives in the present with us. And we have a clean slate with him every second. And that's what empowers us to say no to sin and say yes to God.
Yeah, well, thank you, Andrew. Well, let's quickly go to Mary Jo and answer her question. Mary Jo, you're on the line.
My question is, I used to say this person's a good fellow or a good man, but now with grace, that's not totally, you can't say that anymore, can you?
Yeah, that's interesting, guys. We have a new of good. The righteousness, the goodness that we have comes from Jesus. It's not because I did 25 great things. There is a goodness in every believer. His name is Jesus, and he gave us that new good heart, that new good nature, and he gave us a new spirit. We were united with him. So we're looking at goodness in a brand new way. Goodness is a free gift in Jesus.
Well, Mary Jo, thank you so much for your call. We're out of time. Bob,
yes,
take it away.
Yeah, friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel needs your prayers and support to keep the good news of our Lord Jesus on the air and online. You can help right now at basicgospel.net. Please make your gift today and help us get the message of the new covenant out to as many people as possible by every means available. Donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.